Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Degree of Difficulty. My name is Aaron Johnson. I appreciate you rocking with me wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all of that good stuff. Make sure to subscribe, share, and rate 5 stars. It goes a really long way. Really helps me out here. I always appreciate you when you do that. Starting things off today, it is a Friday. I'm really happy that it's a Friday. Weekend's here. Everyone, make sure, you know my old adage. Make sure that you're having a safe weekend out there. But I wanted to get this last one in before the week was over. Still working on some guests for next week, so hopefully that pans out. Some things that I got on my mind here, trying to get things rolling in that direction. But wanted to kick things off right away with the first slate of games here in the NFL preseason. Obviously, I got to talk about my New York Jets. And before I even delve into the New York Jets, one thing that I got to say about preseason. And I'm going to try and keep this, somewhat brief today because it is Friday. And I know everybody here, if you're listening to me, I appreciate you. Appreciate you rocking with me. But if you're listening, it's Friday. You want to kick back with a couple cold ones. It's summertime. Summer's winding down. It actually looks really nice outside. But one thing I really wanted to delve in with preseason is that people get way too excited about preseason. Now, I get excited that football's back. I do. I get excited that football's back. I get excited that it's closer to the regular season. It's closer to college football season. I get excited for football, the sport being back. I stopped putting stock in what preseason actually meant outside of maybe the third preseason game, but I stopped putting stock in what preseason games meant a long time ago. And I feel like a lot of people haven't got that memo. They missed that ship. And I don't get it. Like, I watched the Jets preseason game. I wouldn't even say the game. I watched the first series. I watched the first 3 series of that game. I watched Sam Darnold. The Jets scored first. So, yeah, I watched Sam Darnold go down. Actually almost throw an interception to Jabril Peppers. I will have to say that because that, he was, 4 of 5? And that one, incompletion was a almost interception there by Jabril Peppers. So, yeah, the Jets go right down the field. The offense looks great. All right, cool. Sam Darnold looks comfortable. He looks a little bit more. Like, I'm not checking for things that are going to be, in an actual game. I'm not checking for things that are going to be there week one. I'm just looking to see how, the offense operates on top of the fact that football's back. So I look at that first of all. After that first series was done, I said, let me see how the defense plays. Same thing. I checked out how the defense played. I wanted to see how things were on the defense, how they're flying around. Definitely wanted to check out Quentin Williams, the number one first-round pick from the Jets, third overall. So I wanted to see what was happening there. I got my test. I got that little on my gums a little bit, just a little test, just to make sure things were, operating correctly with the Jets defense. 3 and out. Eli Manning looks old. All right, we're good. Now, I watched one more series of that game because I wanted to see Daniel Jones. And this is where I'm going to go into my first little spiel here outside of, preseason. Can we relax about Daniel Jones? Like, seriously, can we relax? All you Giant fans out there, relax. It was the starting offensive line from the Giants, which, has already been very poor. I mean, you move a couple guys around. Solder has to be better from what he was last year. I believe Will Hernandez is there now at the guard next to Solder. But it's the starting offensive line. It was just about the entirety of the New York Jets' number two defense. The second stringers were in there. There was no Jamal Adams. There was, if I remember correctly, there was no Avery Williamson. For some reason, Tremaine Johnson wasn't out there. Don't even get me started on $72 million bust of Tremaine Johnson in his first year. But can we just relax? I mean, dude, he had no pressure on him. I remember going back, and I'll laugh. My brother tweeted at me and said, can't they, Giant fans just have nice things? But no, you guys can have nice things because fans need to understand that this is the preseason and half of this stuff doesn't really even count. I'm happy football's back. I'm watching because I'm a football fanatic. I love football. I love that football's back and I love that I can watch it. But when you look at some of the things about Daniel Jones' 5 for 5 touchdown drive that has to be put into perspective here, some context, the Giants had their number one offensive line in. Jets had mostly backups on defense in the game. This is coming from Rich Cimini, the Jets beat writer. May explain why the Jets had only one pressure, Jordan Jenkins, who's really a backup outside linebacker. Jordan Jenkins will, get in third down. He's like a pass rusher kind of set up for the Jets. On five dropbacks. So the Jets had one pressure on five dropbacks on the five pass plays. And this is coming from NFL Next Gen Stats. And so, yes, he capitalized from a clean pocket. Thank you to Rich Samini. And it's the truth because it's very vanilla. That's the preseason, especially in week one, especially in week one of the preseason. Now, context again, the Jets and Giants are playing later this year. Hopefully me and my brothers can get to that game, but the Jets and Giants are playing this year. So you're not going to give, and they talked a little bit about this on the telecast, you're not going to show, you know, your hand in this situation in week one of the preseason. You're there to get reps, look at guys that are trying to get on the team, but it's not a huge out of this world kind of thing where it's like, oh, the preseason's back. Oh, the Jets. One of my dad's cousins on Facebook even said, he was like, oh, the Jets can't beat the Giants. Oh, the Jets are sorry. I'm like, dude, half of the people on this team aren't even going to be on the half the people on the field aren't even going to be on the team come September. Like it blows my mind the kind of concept that people have around preseason. I get it. You're excited football's back. I'm excited that football's back, but you have to look at these games in context. I know people that don't even watch preseason games. I legitimately watch it to make sure, one, nobody gets injured, two, just want to see the starters, and three, it's football. And that's the God's honest truth. I wasn't even home when I got a chance to watch the game. I was watching it on my phone. If I was home, I wouldn't have watched the whole game. I would have watched exactly the amount that I would have watched. I would have watched the Jets offense and defense, first team. I would have watched Daniel Jones, and I would have been done. I don't even know if Daniel Jones had more than one series. I really don't. I just watched the one series. And just to kind of, you know, beat a dead horse here, when you look at, I found this stat that was really interesting. The Detroit Lions won their preseason game last night. They did. I forgot who they beat, but they won their preseason game. In 16 seasons, over the last 16 preseason openers, the Detroit Lions are 12-4. They had the best record in the NFL in preseason game openers. Just to kind of show how much preseason does not matter, in 16 games, in 16 years, I should say, they've won 12 out of their 16. They're 12-4 over that time. Over that same time in the regular season, the Lions are 127-159. 127 wins, 159 losses. They've made three playoff appearances in that time. They've gone 0-3, including in those 159 losses is the 0-16 season that they had in 2008. It goes from 2003 to 2019. They were 0-16 in 2008. They have 127 wins over the last 16 years. 0-3 in three playoff appearances. They haven't gotten out of the wild card game. They haven't gotten out of the doggone wild card game. But they're 12-4 when it comes to preseason openers, so I guess that must mean something. Like, get out of here with that. And that's what – it bugs me, bro. It really bugs me. And like I said, I'm happy that preseason's back. Obviously, there are reasons preseason are there. Granted, they shouldn't play four preseason games. I think two preseason games and call it a day, but that's another story for another podcast. Certain stories come out of it. Victor Cruz, a long time ago, was, you know, discovered, quote unquote, in a preseason game. Remember watching it on Hard Knocks when the Jets were there and Rex Ryan was like, who the heck is that Cruz guy? He's Victor Cruz. And we heard about the cool stories that have come out from yesterday's game. The Cleveland Browns player that, you know, he was like sleeping outside of a 24-hour gym. He lied his way onto the Browns practice, Browns tryout field that day. And then he takes the first punt he catches back for a touchdown. Great story. Amazing story. You look at the Buffalo Bills had a running back that was a rugby player his whole life. And in his first touch in an NFL game, he takes the ball and runs it for a touchdown. Great story. Preseason gives us stories, and preseason gets us ready for the real guys to start playing. I don't know. It's a great story, but I don't know if that guy from Cleveland is going to be on the team come September. And I'm not trying to, you know, make a poor, cynical look on a great story, but it's the God's honest truth. I don't know if that guy's going to be there. I don't know if this Buffalo rugby player, he might be back playing rugby when it's all said and done. The Jets got a guy like that. I don't know what's going to happen to these guys, but let's take a chill pill, everybody. My mom likes to say, take a chill pill. Take a chillax for a little while. And that's what people need to do here. It's the preseason. It's week one. I don't even do fantasy football until week three of the preseason because week three is the one game where everyone kind of plays. You give me two or three series. You give me a quarter in that game, in the third preseason game. You usually give me a quarter. So I'll stick around for a quarter. You'll have my attention for the first quarter. After that, Wake me up in 2 weeks when you guys are really playing and really hitting for real. And Giant fans, relax, bro. You're going to see Daniel Jones in a couple weeks. Because I'm saying Eli just looks old and slow. Eli's probably going to go until about maybe like week 3 or 4. And then you're going to see Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley didn't play last night. Le'Veon Bell didn't play last night. Like, it's week 1 of the preseason, guys. Just relax. Giant fans, you guys are going to be picking real high again next year. So don't worry. It's going to happen. It's going to be there. Daniel Jones, I will say this positively about Daniel Jones. That last pass that he threw for the touchdown, it was a clean pass. I did like that pass. I thought it was nice. But still, week 1. Week 1, guys. Week 1. Say it with me. Week 1. Preseason. Talk to me in April. Talk to me in September. And just make sure that nobody gets hurt on either side. That's it. That's the preseason. Don't get hurt. See you in September. Another thing I wanted to touch on today, and truthfully, I wasn't going to touch on this today because I didn't really have all the details. I was working earlier, and I have a tendency because of the way that, you know, my job works out here, that I go ahead and, you know, I have, you know, certain Twitters open and everything. And I only have my personal Twitter open on my phone. My personal Twitter is where, you know, all of the rigmarole is for, you know, my life, you know, people on Twitter and stuff. So I'm looking on Twitter, just randomly just looking on, just wanted to see what's going on. And I see Antonio Brown is the number one trending topic on Twitter. Now, again, I got a basketball thing I'm going to talk about after this, but that was going to be the podcast. It was going to be, you know, preseason and basketball. But I had to touch on this Antonio Brown story, because this Antonio Brown story is just, this guy is killing me now at this point. Like, I liked Antonio Brown. So if you guys haven't heard yet, Antonio Brown has filed a helmet grievance against the NFL, according to Adam Schefter. Brown says that unless he gets to wear his old helmet, which does not meet the new league standards, he will not play football again. Two things come to mind when I think about this and just kind of think about some of the things, some of the antics Antonio Brown has done over the last, what, year, 2 years? Oh, for me, it started with Antonio Brown when he did that Facebook Live video after they won the playoff game. He had Mike Tomlin talking about how they were going to go to New England and beat the Patriots. At least the Eagles did it that year. But two things come to mind when I think about how Antonio Brown has acted over the last, let's say, 15 months. One, I definitely think he is out of love with football. I do not believe that Antonio Brown loves football anymore. And you can kind of see it. You can kind of see in the way he's acting. You can kind of see in the way that he's talking about people. Yeah, he got his money. Yeah, he got out of Pittsburgh. Yeah, he's not playing with Ben anymore. But I don't think he loves football anymore. Say what you will about Odell Beckham Jr. And I've ripped Odell Beckham Jr. I ripped Odell Beckham Jr. on a podcast not too long ago. Say what you will about Odell Beckham Jr., but I think that when it comes down to it, he does genuinely love the game of football. Now, there were times in that GQ article that he said he fell out of love with football, but I still think he overall loves the game of football. I don't think Antonio Brown loves football anymore. It doesn't seem to me like that's his priority. His priority is everything but football. And granted, according to what I've read on this topic, again, it just came out not too long ago, so I'm going to read up on it a little bit more as things go on here. He says that he can't see the ball, so he's having trouble catching the ball. Now, that's his livelihood. That's his position. That's a valid argument if that's the reason for the argument. If that's the reason for the argument, it's a valid argument. But for him to say, like, you know, I'm not going to play football anymore, that tells me I just don't think he loves it anymore. I don't think he's willing to run through that brick wall like he once was to win a football game, to play in a football game. I just don't think so. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the antics are kind of showing me that he's out of love with the game. Now, according to Adam Schefter, like I said, Brown believes the new helmets. Adam Schefter said, Antonio Brown believes the new helmet that the rules mandate he wears protrudes out and interferes with his vision as he tries to catch the football. Now, the one thing, I'm going to pause right here, because the one thing that bugged me when I first read this was, if you follow social media and you follow Antonio Brown on social media, over the last like 3 weeks, all he's been posting is videos of him working out and him catching random objects, like how his workout plan has been, like, you know, standing on the bubble ball or whatever, on the medicine ball, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, having blinders on, he's making catches and everything, and he's catching like tennis balls and smaller balls and everything like that. I mean, that's the first thing that came to mind. If you're gonna do all that workout, you can't complain about the helmet. You can't, now all of a sudden you can't see. They literally are putting restrictive doggone glasses on you, and now all of a sudden with a helmet on you can't see. And then according to Adam Schefter here, the Raiders have been sending Antonio Brown other approved helmets to try out, but at this time he's not interested in wearing any of them. It's my way or the highway is what he's basically saying. Give me my helmet or I'm out. I'm not doing this. I don't want to play it. I don't want to be here. The second thing that came to mind that I wanted to talk about when it came to this situation was the simple fact that HBO is eating this doggone thing up. The Oakland Raiders, or Las Vegas Raiders to be, they're on HBO's Hard Knocks this year. And if they got coverage of this, first of all, if they don't have coverage of this, somebody's getting fired. Somebody, one of them cameramen, one of the producers, one of the directors, if they don't have actual video of Antonio Brown being Antonio Brown, going full on Antonio Brown, somebody's going to get fired. Now, HBO's eating this up because this is must-see TV. This is right up there with Rex Ryan, Let's Go Eat a Mother-Loving Snack. This is right up there. And I can't wait to watch it. I don't even have HBO, but somehow, some way, I'm not going to say how or the way because I don't want to get in trouble, but I am going to definitely make sure I watch that. Right up there with Jarvis Landry from last year when he ripped into all the wide receivers. Like, I don't know what you guys, you know, are used to, but that's not what I came here to do. This is going to be on the board of crazy, epic HBO Hard Knocks moments. I have to believe it is. But my main point is Antonio Brown's out of love with football, yo. I really believe that. Obviously, the money's good. Obviously, he got out of the bad situation in Pittsburgh. But he doesn't love this game anymore. Because I think he's looking for every single solitary small reason to not get out on that field and play every single Sunday. That's just my thoughts on the matter. I said I'm going to delve into the story a little bit more, see what really is out there once more reports start to come out. But just on face value, brother doesn't love playing no more. That simple. Now, the last thing I wanted to tackle here, and again, like I said, this was going to be thing number two, but I should have done this on Wednesday, and the reason why I didn't do this on Wednesday was because I didn't think it was a real, thing. I thought it was just somebody randomly posting something on social media. Now, people have been doing like the top 50 rap lists and everything. I'm not going to do that. Top 50 greatest rappers of all time. So I thought it was one of those things for the all decade team in the NBA. So that's why when my brother texted me and was like, oh, you should have done this, I was like, I didn't think it was a real thing. I thought somebody was just trolling me. And so the all decade team, which was an actual real thing, it's not an official honor bestowed by the NBA. That's the one thing. I'm reading the editor's note right here. This is not an official honor bestowed by the NBA. These are simply the opinions of those who cover and follow the league on a daily basis. Stats and accolades included below are from the 2009-2010 season through the 2018-2019 season only. So, rounding out these teams, it's three teams. All-decade first team, I have no problem with. No problem with whatsoever. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, James Harden, and Kawhi Leonard. That's cool. I'm good with that. I am 100% good with that. Obviously, when you look at the stats and you look at the All-Stars, you look at the numbers, it's kind of funny because Kawhi Leonard is the one that's, you know, you look, Steph Curry's 23.5 points a game, 6.6 assists a game, 6 All-Stars, 6 All-NBAs. James Harden, 24.3 points a game, 5-6, 7 All-Stars, 6 All-NBAs. LeBron, 10 All-Stars, 10 All-NBA, 26-7-7. KD, 10 All-Stars, 9 All-NBA, 28-7-4. Then you look at Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's got 3 All-Star games, 3 All-NBA teams, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. You're like, wow, 17 points? But then you got to remember Kawhi Leonard has 2 NBA championship rings, and he has 2 NBA finals MVPs. So, plus in Defensive Player of the Year. So, you know, Kawhi Leonard's up there. He's the top 5 player in this decade. Absolutely. Now, this is where things kind of got a little shady. At least shady for me. All-decade team number 2. Second team. Chris Paul. I'm fine with that. Anthony Davis. I'm okay with that. Russell Westbrook. You know, I'm good with that. Carmelo Anthony. This is where things start to get a little weird. And Blake Griffin. Now, I'm going to read the third team and I'm going to delve in. The third team, which is even, this has gotten people real hot. Third team, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Paul George, and LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, I'm a big fan of LaMarcus Aldridge, staying with the third team just because I'm here. I'm a big fan of LaMarcus Aldridge. I've seen LaMarcus Aldridge live. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is a beast. Now, three players that I have come to my attention that I at least thought should have been on one of these lists. Damian Lillard should have been there. I do. I think Damian Lillard is cold. I think Damian Lillard, he has an all-NBA first team, which means a lot to me. Damian Lillard should have been on that list. Kevin Love, early in his career, especially when he was in Minnesota, Kevin Love could have been on that first team, the way he played in Minnesota. If he could have continued to play like that, then who knows? But Kevin Love definitely deserved to be on one of those teams. Kemba Walker was one that, you know, I'm a little homie with Kemba Walker because he's a UConn guy, but still, he's shown that he's a top-tier kind of player and has been for the time he's been in the NBA in the 2010s. It's weird to say, but it's still, it is the decade, the 2010s. But Blake Griffin is one that gets me, and I'm sorry to one of my good friends who's a big Detroit Pistons fan, but dude, I don't get Blake Griffin. I don't. I just don't. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, solid numbers. 6 All-Stars, 6 All-NBAs. But I just never thought Blake Griffin was that good. I'm sorry. I mean, I might be in the wrong, but, like, Lob City and Chris Paul did a lot for Blake Griffin's career. And don't get me wrong, Blake Griffin's kind of being steady in Detroit. But I don't know. I think Blake Griffin for a lot of things. Like, I would rather have LaMarcus Aldridge than Blake Griffin if I was building a team. That's just me. That's just me. I would rather have LaMarcus Aldridge. His numbers are a little bit scoring-wise. Oh, no, his numbers just across the board. His numbers across the board aren't as good as Blake Griffin. But I don't know. I just think Blake Griffin's not as skilled at the position as LaMarcus Aldridge is. Kobe Bryant was one that people talked about on the third team because they looked at Kobe Bryant and said, how much did he really do in the 2010s, especially in the latter part of the 2010s? I believe Kobe won one of his championships after the two-peat, after they beat, I think the one against the Celtics was in the, like, 2011. So that's, like, the one thing that he did do. He won a championship. Kobe's numbers during that time aren't terrible. Obviously, he's Kobe. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Paul George playing well. Giannis is weird because Giannis is a little early for me, but I can see him. Giannis is going to take over the league if he gets a shot. He's going to take over the league in a couple years, so I got no problem with that. Dwayne Wade, I got no problem with that. But one person I felt was also missed off of this that hurt me was Chris Bosh. I thought Chris Bosh should have been on one of these teams. I really do. I would have taken Chris Bosh over LaMarcus Aldridge and over Blake Griffin. There was a point in time there when he was on the big three. Chris Bosh was a walking 25-10. He walked in the building and gave you 25-10. During the playoff runs, he was walking in the building giving you 25-15. So that's why I think Chris Bosh kind of gets a raw deal here. Obviously, the way his career has kind of gone, well, his career has ended because of his health concerns. But Chris Bosh was a bad man. He really was. Chris Bosh was really, really good. I think people don't give him enough credit. Even before he went to Miami, Chris Bosh was really good in Toronto. Before everything happened in Toronto, Chris Bosh is still probably on the Mount Rushmore of Toronto players. He is. You think Vince Carter? You think Kawhi Leonard? You think Chris Bosh? Who else is going to be on that list? I don't put Tracy McGrady on the list in Toronto. I don't. He was great, and he was good in Toronto, but Tracy McGrady really hit his stride when he got to Orlando. So I mean, I don't know. I think that list isn't terrible, but I don't think that list is great either by any stretch of the imagination. I think they got the first team right. I think they got the majority of the second team right. And the third team is up for debate. Either way, I think Damian Lillard needs to be on there. Kevin Love, obviously, early in his career, I could see Kevin Love being on there. I do think Kevin Love, especially if he continued to play that way, like I said before, he would have been on there. But Dame Dollar got to get on there. Damian Lillard, his stats are very, very good over his career. And Damian Lillard needed to be there. On top of the fact, the big thing for Damian Lillard, like I said before, was his first team All-NBA that he got, not this past season, but the season before. First team All-NBA as a guard? You know how hard that is? His career stats are 23.5 points a game, 4.2 rebounds, and 2.3 assists. On top of making 1, 2, 3, 4 All-Star teams, he really should have made 5 because one of those All-Star teams, he got the boot because it was Kobe's last year. Yeah, the year his best year scoring, he didn't even make the All-Star team. That was the year that Kobe went. He averaged 27 points in a year, 27, 5, and 4, and he didn't make the All-Star team. 2016, 2017. And because, again, I believe that was Kobe's last year. So, I mean, it was a real rough thing there that he didn't make that team. I think he should have been there. I think a lot of people think he should have been there. I mean, I remember the debate saying that it's crazy that he's not on this team. And I think that Damian Lillard, in a lot of ways, does get a raw deal for as good of a player as he is. Obviously, now it's not going to be that raw of a deal because of, you know, the iconic moment of him hitting that three. You know, ending an era in OKC. Ending the only era that they've had in OKC, if we really want to talk about it. But it is tough for me to sit here and say that he didn't deserve to be on that team. Because he absolutely did. And so when you look at that, he's owed one All-Star team. So he has 4, but he really should have 5 on top of an All-NBA. And actually, I think about it, I don't believe that was the year that Kobe left. I might be getting my years kind of mixed up there. Kobe had been long gone by then. I think Kobe left like 2 years before 2016, 2017. But still, my point being is the fact that Damian Lillard is a bad man. He's a great player. And Damian Lillard, all decade, is 2019. He came in the league, I want to say, in 2012. And Damian Lillard has been a great player since he stepped foot on the court. Now, the argument with Damian Lillard that I've gotten into with a couple people is that he hasn't won anything. What has Blake Griffin won? What has Carmelo Anthony won? Carmelo Anthony ain't won nothing. Carmelo Anthony has been to one Western Conference Finals in his entire career. And that wasn't even in the 2010s. At least Damian Lillard got there this past year. So when you look at guys like that, that's somebody I think got left off. And he's really the big one I'm looking at. Like I said, I pitch Kemba Walker and I pitch Kevin Love, especially Kevin Love back when he was in Minnesota. I do pitch those guys because I think they've had strong careers. And because a friend of mine has also told me about, you know, go back and look at Kevin Love's stats. And I had to. I'll say I had to go back and look at how good Kevin Love was when he was in Minnesota. And I said, wow, he was. He played real well. Kind of forget that he was a 20 and 20 kind of guy. Best rebounder in the game, plus the gold medal. You kind of forget about that with Kevin Love. But Damian Lillard is the one I'm going to die on that Damian Lillard hill. I am. Because he's that good and he deserves the respect of being on one of these teams. I don't even think he needs to be on the second team. The list was positionless in a lot of ways, obviously, but it was positionless. LeBron James plays the same position as Kawhi Leonard. You only got one center on any of these teams. I'm sorry, two centers because LaMarcus Aldridge. But still, two centers. There's no center on the first team. Well, I don't know. Those are just my thoughts on it. And like I said, I probably should have touched on this on Wednesday. But I decided, you know, after realizing that it actually was a legitimate thing and not just somebody randomly posting their thoughts and their opinions, you know, like some random guy behind a microphone doing a podcast, I realized that that's actually, you know, I can talk on this. I can discuss this. So I think that They need to keep not everybody that they had. First team is fine. I have no qualms with the first team whatsoever. Figure out how to get Damian Lillard on that. I'm sorry to whoever has to get dropped off it, but Damian Lillard belongs on that team. He is one of the best players. He's one of the best 15 players of this decade. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind, Damian Lillard is one of the best 15 players in this decade. All right, y'all. Well, that's going to do it for me here. Degree of difficulty. My name is Aaron Johnson. It's getting actually kind of late. I got some stuff I got to do tonight. I got to run around. But I appreciate you guys rocking with me. I really appreciate it. It always goes a long way. Like I said, I'm working on some things for next week. Always make sure to get this podcast, wherever you get your podcasts at, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of that good stuff. As I said before, it's the weekend, so make sure you stay safe, and for a third time with me, safe. And make sure everyone out there has a great weekend, a safe weekend. God bless. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, rate this podcast as you guys have done with all the podcasts. It's really going well. And really tell me what you think. If you think I'm crazy for how I went ahead and talked about, you know, Antonio Brown, you got some thoughts on Antonio Brown, or you think I'm crazy for putting, you know, Damian Lillard there on the all-decade team, Kemba Walker as a potential on the all-decade team, tweet at me, at Aaron Johnson, AaronJohnson _ on Twitter, and just tell me what you think. You know, degree of difficulty always gets posted every day after I do this, so it's going to be up there a little bit later tonight. But leave a comment on the comment section, too. Just let me know what you guys are thinking about, because I do. Those are my thoughts. You know, I'm just a crazy guy behind a mic. So, again, thank you for rocking with me. Enjoy the weekend, and everybody out there, stay safe. God bless.